It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Welcome to Lighthouse Faith Podcast, where we are moving forward in truth and love. I'm Lauren Green, chief religion correspondent for Fox News Channel and author of the book Lighthouse Faith and the new devotional Light for Today. The new film Cabrini just opened in theaters. It is heartfelt and powerful. It's a story based on the life of Frances Xavier Cabrini, also known as Mother Cabrini. She was an Italian-American Catholic nun who founded the Missionary Sisters of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. She brought the love of Jesus to the poor and the needy, particularly the abandoned Italian children in the slums of New York. And this is from the Mother Cabrini website. It says, in 1889, New York seemed to be filled with chaos and poverty, and into this new world stepped Mother Frances Cabrini and her sister companions. Cabrini organized catechism and education classes for the Italian immigrants and provided for the needs of many orphans. She established schools and orphanages despite tremendous odds. Now, the film Cabrini focuses on how she was able to overcome those odds, you know, what the odds were, and why in a land that immigrants believed was paved in gold did it become for them slums paved in the bodies of abandoned and dead children. Eduardo Verástegui is the executive producer of the film, and he's also part of the production team for the movie Sound of Freedom that starred Jim Caviezel. And Eduardo joins me now. Welcome to you.
Hello, how are you? Thank you so much for this interview.
It's thank you so much, and I love your accent because I'm looking at you, and you obviously have the looks of an actor, but you are not acting this film, is that correct?
Not in this one, but I started my career as a singer, an actor, and then 20 years ago, I started a production company, and I started producing films where in some I act, in some I just produce. In this case, I was just, in the production team as an executive producer of Cabrini.
Yeah. How did you get involved in this film, Cabrini?
Well, you know, it started 20 years ago, actually, when I'm from northern Mexico, mm-hmm. where Alejandro Monteverde is. We're from the same state of Tamaulipas. And so I moved to Los Angeles when I was 28, and after 10 years of career working, you know, in as I mentioned before, I started singing in a boy band for 3.5 years, and then I started doing soap operas in Mexico. At that time in Mexico, you didn't have so many options if you want to make a living as an actor. You either do soap operas or soap operas, and that's what he did for almost
soap operas or soap operas, yeah.
That's it, you know, I was stuck on that. And then I was tired of doing that. Then I, something was missing in my life. I didn't know what it was, so I thought it was maybe more fame, more career, more work. So I moved to Miami, and in Miami, I recorded my first solo album in Spanish, and one day I was flying from Miami to Los Angeles to promote my music, and on the plane was this VP of casting for Century Fox. And then he saw me on the plane and he invited me to do an audition for a film he was working at, Chasing Papi, and called Chasing Papi. And I told him, I don't speak English very well. You know, I know how to count 1 to 10, gallina chicken, my car is red, things like that. And he said, don't worry, because 90% of the film, you're going to be sleeping. Oh, okay.
Sleeping.
I can do that.
Okay.
So I did the audition. I got the part. I moved to LA. And next thing you know, I'm like with agents and managers and publicists and lawyers and the whole package. And I thought I had everything in one hand, but in the other hand, I had nothing. I was very empty. Something was missing in my life. And that's when I met this wonderful lady and my English teacher, who not only taught me English, but changed my life using the Socratic method, asking me questions like, what is the purpose of your life? What do you want to gain in your life? How are you using your talents? And many other questions, you know, like, are you part of the problem or part of the solution? You know, there's more than 60 million Hispanics living in this country, Eduardo, and many people, we think that you guys are a threat to the democracy of this country because we believe that you guys are what we see in film or television, all the negative stereotypes of Latinos in the media. And so I'm asking you, you're direct, are you part of the problem, part of the stereotype, or part of the solution. Mm. And when I look back to see what I was doing, I started crying. You know, I'm part of the problem. You know, I forgot that whatever project you are involved, whether you like it or not, you end up affecting how people think, you know, how what they believe about our community. And that's when I made a promise to God that I will never use my talents again to do anything that will offend my faith, my family, or my Latino culture. And after I end up, after I made that promise, I ended up not working for 4 years and I lost everything. Because every single project that I got offered, you know, it was about the things that I promised I would never do. So I had to turn it down. And until that's when I met Alejandro Monteverde and Leo Severino. And the three of us, we started Metanoia Films, a production company that will produce films that matters, movies where I can have the control of the message. So I don't have to, you know, as an actor, I was waiting. I was tired of waiting for a role that will portray a man as a real man. So my English teacher at that time, she advised, why don't you become a producer so you can have the, you know, the power to control the message. And right, that's what we did. So we started this company, Alejandro Monteverde, Leo Severino, and us, you know, with the mission of making movies that hopefully when people leave the theater, they will leave not only entertained, but they will leave wanting to love more, judge less, complain less, forgive more. Because art has a power, you know, to change people's lives for good or for bad. And so the first fruit of that mission was this little film that actually we filmed in New York in 2005 called Bella. And the one who financed that movie was the Wolfington family, Eustace and Sean. Mm. And Eustace, the day that I met him, he's from Philadelphia. He's the one with his nephew, Sean, financed Bella. And he started telling us about Cabrini. And I had no idea who Cabrini is, you know. And he started telling me, you know, I have a lot of devotion to Mother Cabrini, Eduardo, Leo, and Alejandro. This nun is amazing. She's from me. She's an Italian nun, and she came to America, you know. And she's, but we were, like, so concentrated in Bella that we didn't pay attention to what he was saying. Right. So we kind of, like, ignored him a little bit. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, we had a lot of responsibility of putting this movie together, Bella. And then after that, we did Little Boy. And then Eustace again, hey, guys, you know, Cabrini, don't forget about Cabrini. I think we should do something. And yeah, but now we're focused on Little Boy. Then we finished Little Boy. And then and 8 years ago, I met this wonderful team of professional guys who, you know, who travel around the world undercover rescuing children who are kidnapped for sexual exploitation, And when they told Alejandro and me, in details what these children are going through around the world. You know, child trafficking and how these kids are being raped 10 to 15 times a day for many years until they don't like them anymore because they're not fresh meat anymore. That's the kind of vocabulary that these perverts use. Many of these children, they go to the second business, which is the, you know, in the black market of organs traffic. They open them and sell their organs. And when I heard all these things, I couldn't sleep again. And I said, listen, we need to do something here. And that's when we decided to do Sound of Freedom.
Yeah,
and,
that is a powerful film. I've seen it probably two or three times, Sound of Freedom.
You know, more than a movie, I think now this wonderful project became a movement, you know, with global solutions for this global problem, which is child trafficking. Yeah. So I dedicated my life for 8 years working this problem. And then finally, when I finished producing this movie, Alejandro, you know, he was looking for the next project. And then I met with Eustace. I said, Eduardo, it's been a long time. I don't want to die before we make Cabrini. And if you guys are not interested, it's fine. I'm going to look for someone else. And I said, Eustace, I'm so sorry. You know, we've been just working so much in all these other movies. And there's so many projects out there that we want to do. But it's important, you know, as an independent filmmaker, it's very difficult to raise the funds. Don't worry about the funds.
How did you raise the funds? Because I know my husband has been friends with Jim Ivory of Ivory Merchant Films, who did Room with a View and some other really classic films. But even him, he was talking about how hard it is to raise funds. How did you raise your funds?
It's very difficult. You know, well, the first one, Bella, was Eustace and Sean. It was a low-budget film, $3 million. So they put half and half. And that was the first time I ever raised money in my life for films. Mm-hmm. No, that was my first production. That was my first time where I was where I was doing both. We were doing everything. I played the lead role in Bella. I was producing the movie. We had to raise the money. Alejandro wrote the script. Then we were involved in pre-production, production, post-production, marketing, publicity, and pretty much distribution as well, you know? So, but it was easier because it was just, again, $3 million, two investors, and that's it. But the second one, Little Boy, was a bigger budget, $25 million, $26 million. And I knocked like literally 100 doors from all over the world, you know, asking them, you know, what were the guys who made Bella? Bella won the Toronto Film Festival in 2006. So that helped us a lot because put us in the map as filmmakers, you know, winning Toronto Film Festival. So it's a big deal. And that helped us and opened the doors for other people to listen to us. And I was able to raise $26 million in 4 months between 40 investors. Yeah. And then we did Little Boy. And then with Son of Freedom, same thing. It was like 10, 12 investors that I met with them. And of course, Little Boy opened the door for Son of Freedom. And especially, it was very difficult, actually, Son of Freedom, because a lot of people, they didn't want to be involved in the child trafficking movie because they thought it was too dangerous for them.
Yeah. And yeah. It's funny because that movie was so powerful. And it did show you, and it did show the audience, that the people who work in this industry are very dangerous people that even law enforcement don't want to challenge, which is...
Oh,
which
you is, have no idea how much... the challenges that we went through, like finding the actor, you know, more than 20 actors, I don't want to mention names, but they all turned down the... They say, we can for whatever reasons. I thought to a point where maybe we need to find a new actor, because nobody wants to touch this subject. And for some reason, until Jim Caviezel, you know, we thought about him and he said yes right away and he got involved. And then when we finished the film, 4 years, but remember, this film in the beginning belonged to Fox Latin America. A friend of mine named Carlos Martinez, he's the one who was like an angel for us because he said, guys, I want to get behind this movie, a documentary, a TV series, a sequel. This is so important to me. Yeah. So what do you need? He got behind the movie, and I thought, wow, this is too good to be true. This is amazing. But then when Disney buy Fox, then all my friends at Fox Latin America who were involved in this project, they were not longer in Fox anymore. So now, next thing you know, the property belong to Disney. And then the pandemic came. So all the theaters were closed. And so it took me like a year and a half to take the rights back out of Disney because Disney told me this movie is not for us. So you have to pay the debt, which is all
goodness.
The money that Fox invested.
Another reason to not like Disney.
Imagine. So at the end, just they forgave us our the interest. It was a lot of interest that I have to pay. I said, well, forget about the interest. Just pay the debt, and we did. We took the rights back. But then for 4 years, we were knocking doors, and every single studio, every single experts in distribution, they told us this movie is never going to work. You know, this is not for us. This is not a good business. So
are they in bed with the child traffickers? I mean, for Disney to say that this, I'm vetting now because this is the first time I've heard about Disney saying this movie is not for us when they have produced some very uncomfortable films.
Yeah.
I can't name them right now, but I'm just saying this should have been something that they would have taken.
Yeah. You know, it's a big company, and I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of people in Disney that they love this movie, but the ones who were making, you know, the decision makers, let's put it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
The decision makers, you know, because Disney, I mean, we're talking about thousands of employees, right? So it's, I don't want to put everyone in a box, but the decision makers, they said, this is not for us. Okay, well, then it's not for you, it's for someone else.
Yeah. And it's a good way to look at it.
Hollywood didn't believe in that. In this film, but the people did, you know, the people show up because after 4 years of being rejected, it's very difficult. You know, when your investors are calling you every day, what's going on, what's going to happen, you know, Eduardo, when is the movie going to come out? And well, let's be patient. Well, it's been 4 years. It's been actually 8 years since we started this project. And so it's very, I tried to sell the movie to like literally for not for just for the cost, just take it and put it out there. I got to a point where I wanted to show on YouTube for free, you know, because I care about raising awareness, which is the number one, the most important step to eradicate child trafficking is to raise awareness.
Right.
Most of the people, they don't even know that this problem exists right there next to your house. It's everywhere. It's a global problem, especially the US and Mexico. U.S. is the number one consumer of child sex in the world. Mexico, number one provider. So we need to do something. And finally, you know, I started doing this campaign against child trafficking in Mexico for 2 years, signing agreements with the government, you know, with the commitment of ending child trafficking in each state of Mexico. And I was praying for an angel to come and rescue this movie. And next thing you know, Angel Studios show up. And they said, I think we are your last option. We're ready for your movie. Let's do this together. We believe in this mission and this vision and your movie. And we signed a deal like literally last year on April, May. And then we came out on July 4th, which is the most difficult date for independent film. And we came out first time in history that independent film opened number one on July 4th against Indiana Jones, and then week later against Mission Impossible. Wow. And it became like literally a movement that somehow opened the door for Cabrini, because that's when Justo said, okay, guys, I'm ready to do this. So I recommended for him to call Rod Barr and Leo Severino, and Rod Barr wrote the script. And then next thing you know, Alejandro reads the script and he falls in love with the story. Next thing you know, I was raising funds actually to pay the debt that I had for Sound of Freedom, while Alejandro was already in pre-production doing Cabrini. And next thing you know, Justo said, one condition, guys, one condition. I'm going to open a nonprofit here. I'm going to donate with a few other friends the budget of the film to the nonprofit. The nonprofit will pay for the entire movie, and not 10%, not 20%, 100% of the profits will go to continue the legacy of Cabrini, you know, for charity.
Wow.
So every single person who go and see this movie and buy a ticket, 100% of the profit goes to charity. And that was the condition that Justo Wolfington put together, and we all agree, because this is an amazing story. And what she did, what she went through, in moments where women didn't have a voice or nothing, you know, and she confront even members of the church who didn't believe in her. She confront, you know, criminal.
Eduardo, let's take a break right now. I want to talk to you about that. Let's take a break right now on Lighthouse Faith Podcast. We'll be right back with Eduardo Verástegui, the producer, executive producer of Cabrini. We'll be right back.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
And I'm back with the executive producer of the movie Cabrini, Eduardo Verástegui. Did I pronounce that right, Verástegui?
Perfect. Okay. Better than I do. Eduardo Verástegui. Very good.
That's good. Thank you so much. One of the things that, you know, because I saw the movie last fall, I started watching it again this morning, and there's certain things I forgot about it, but it is incredibly powerful. You get the picture of what this movie is about and what she's going to eradicate, or at least work to eradicate, when you see this poor Italian boy and you see him racing through the streets of New York, and you don't know what he's pushing, but you know he's pushing something, and the look on his face is terror. And the idea that he's a little boy doing this, first of all, is heart-wrenching. And then you realize he's pushing his mother, who is probably close to death, somewhere where he can get her help. And how he is treated is probably, it is appalling, because he doesn't speak English, so he doesn't know what to do. He just knows his mother needs help. And they take his mother away. They give him some kind of piece of paper, and she's going to be put in a potter's field. And he goes, where are you going, Mama? Where are you taking my mama? And they don't understand him. He doesn't, can't speak English. And there is the dilemma right there. And at that point, I'm hooked, because you know somebody has to do something, and then you know that it's going to be Mother Cabrini. And
in the other side of the ocean, right?
On the other side of the ocean. And I think that it's just such a powerful story of, you know, what we are called to do.
Yes.
Now, my only challenge to the film, and I will say this with reservation because you've done such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful job of presenting this problem. Like I said in the beginning, you know, immigrants came here thinking that America was paved in gold. And like the letter the Pope read, Greeny, but they're finding that it's paved in the dead bodies of children. That is a conviction of American society and the affluence that's here. But this country that was built on freedom of faith, freedom of religion, would forget about the real teachings of Jesus of taking care of the poor. And she was the one who did that. But my only challenge to this film is that I never hear the name of Jesus in the film. Yeah. And I'm wondering, is that by design? I remember I guess he was one of the producers or one of the investors in the film when we saw the screening. His point was that she was a really giving woman who happened to be a nun. But she's a woman, but she's a nun who's devoted to Jesus. And that was her motivation. And she, her prayer, you know, she talked about her prayer. It just talks about being devoted to Jesus. Well, I mean, the name of her ministry, the name of her ministry is devoted to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. That is the name of her ministry.
Exactly.
So was there a reason to kind of, you know, you've got all the visuals of Catholicism, you know, the crosses and the Vatican and all of that, but not really mentioning Jesus or, you know, even seeing her, you know, say the rosary or anything.
Right. Well, you know, that's a great observation, and I thank you for that. You know, when you are dealing with art, especially when you're making a movie that is not a documentary, it's not a TV series where you have, like, you know, 100 hours to tell more of her story, and you only have like 2 hours to tell her story, it's very difficult for the writer and for the director, you know, what you are going to leave behind. I mean, what are you going to choose, you know, so every scene in the movie, you know, is meaningful, because for every scene that the writer and the director puts together, that means that 1 million scenes are not there, you know?
Right.
And so it's very, very difficult, because what do you choose from an amazing woman that everything that she did was unbelievable? You know, you're going to eliminate a lot of great things, right? And then not only that, when you finish the movie and then you're in post-production, you're editing, can you imagine how many scenes we thought were unbelievable are not there anymore? Because otherwise the movie will last 5 hours, right?
Right.
So, now, there's rules in cinema. For example, one of the rules in cinema, it's called show, don't tell. Show, don't tell is like, don't tell the people what is obvious, you know, and because people are not dumb, you know, the audience, don't treat your audience like they don't know, like when you're 3 years old and you're learning how to speak, right? The audience is smart. So if you are presenting a nun with the habit, the entire movie, with a big cross in her chest, right there, you're telling already, you know, in a big screen, well, she's a nun,
like
Jesus.
Right.
And like anything else that she says is like in your face. And when you hit people in your face, then you lose the audience, especially the audience that we want to reach. This movie is not just for Catholics. You know, I don't want to tell my mother, who prays the rosary every day, Mom, Jesus prayed the rosary every day. She's going to look at me, Eduardo, that's what I do. I taught you to pray the rosary every day. What are you talking about, right? I want to reach another audience that, especially right now where the church is being attacked. I mean, it's been attacked since day one, but, you know, there is a lot of, you know, the perception right now that is out there about what the church is. It's not fair for so many amazing priests and nuns who are sacrificing everything to help the poor, because of the bad behavior of others. You know, now the world puts the church in one box. I'm talking about the ones outside of the church, right?
Yeah.
So remember when Saint Francis said to his brothers, "Let's go and evangelize," and then to the closest town that we are, and they went there, and then they spent all day with Saint Francis, and when they came back, the brothers are looking at each other and saying, "Saint Francis, we thought we were going to evangelize," and he said, "We did, What do you mean we did? We didn't talk to anybody. No, we did. You know, when we helped the poor, when we helped the lady to cross the street, when we helped this. And they said, you know, we did through actions. And when it's necessary, use words. And so in the movie, we wanted to share her actions. And more than, you know, to do a movie where she is holding and praying the rosary the entire movie, because it's obvious that a nun prays the rosary. She, and no, that's number one. But number two,
actually, it's not obvious.
She quoted the Bible many. She quoted the Bible like a few times.
She did. She did. She quoted. As I remember this exactly. She says, "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." And that's exact quote of the Bible. Many people actually, there's some translations will say through Christ who strengthens me, but it's an actual accurate translation to say through Him.
She mentioned the word God more than 12 times. So we calculated everything in a way that, you know what, this has to be real. It has to be, you show the Vatican, you show the Cardinal, you show the Pope, you show the habit, you show the big cross in her chest, you show that she's in front of the, you know, for Catholics, they know that, we know that when they're in a chapel and you see the light, the candle, that means the presence of Jesus Christ in the tabernacle is there, right? So we saw her in the chapel, we saw the candle is on, and then she stays there all night. What a nun will do, I don't have to tell the others, oh, by the way, we're in the chapel and she's going to be praying all night. No, it's you assume like, well, she's alone, she's in the chapel, she's in front of the tabernacle, the candle is on, and she's there all night.
Yeah.
She's going to be praying all night.
Right.
So, but we have to be very careful in how, because then if she prays the rosary, then someone says, I don't like the movie. Why? She's praying the rosary. I feel like they weren't.
Well, I wasn't saying she had to pray the rosary the entire thing. I'm just thinking, you know.
If she prays, she doesn't pray enough. If she prays nothing, she didn't pray. If she prays a lot, oh, she's praying. So you're never going to, when you're making a movie, you're never going to please everyone. It's impossible. Impossible. Right. Because if she prays half hour rosary, somebody will complain that she's praying too much. So then you lose that audience. My goal was not convince the people that are already there. Why should I want to tell my mother again, Mom, go to Mass every day. I go to Mass every day. Well, you should pray the rosary more. I pray three rosaries a day. But I want to reach my other aunt, who hates the church.
Yeah.
How? But she loves to help poor people. Okay. Well, I'm gonna reach her, and other audiences that again they think of the church in ways that are negative. And I think who can be against Mother Cabrini in the way how Alejandro tell her story? No one. Mm-hmm. No one is gonna be against this woman. Even the people who doesn't like, you know, I showed the movie to atheists, you know, they fall in love with Mother Cabrini. Now, between you and I, there is already groups, and this is very, very sad what I'm about to tell you. There is groups already from, you know, we launched this movie in International Women's Day, right?
Right.
And for me, the real feminist movement should be women that have God in the center of their lives, because just like Mother Cabrini, when she died to herself, meaning pride, vanity, ego, etc., and allowed God to be the center of her life, whatever she touched, it's miracles.
Right.
Because it's God living through her, right? She's an instrument. And now what happened? That's for me the real empowerment, you know, when God empowers you, you know, men and women, but we're talking about women right now. So when men empowers women, you know, this is what happened, you know? I have here Our Lady Guadalupe with me, next to me.
Yeah.
Did you see her?
Yes, absolutely.
So she's the most powerful woman on earth, right? And so what happened when the woman removes God from her life? Everything that she touched is destroyed. Mm. I mean, will be destroyed. So there is already this feminist movement that is out there that when they heard us saying that this movie is about women that are empowered, they start like saying, you know, they don't want women to see this movie because they think, oh, this is a propaganda about, you know, religion. They say, no, it's not propaganda. We're just telling you a true story of this woman who built an empire of hospitals and no, you guys are. So already this big movement against Cabrini in Mexico is happening. Because they know that the movie's coming out in Mexico. And you know, Mexico is a Catholic country.
Right.
And that's where Our Lady of Guadalupe is. So they're afraid that this this movement is afraid that this powerful movie about a woman, a powerful woman that went against everybody at that time, you know, to help the poor, how are you going to attack her?
Right.
And that's why Alejandro and Leo Severino, they were very careful in how to tell the story in a way that is almost impossible to attack the movie from this group.
I never thought about that. You are so right. You are so right. You know, I kind of can exist in sort of a bubble in many ways because I cover religion, I cover, you know, faith and elements, and I'm very, very keenly aware of when movies say things or don't say things. So I'd never thought of your point and the movements against Cabrini and the movie. You're right. I don't see how you could come against this movie.
There's no way. I mean, you have to be evil.
Right.
Evil, really, to
there
do that.
There is no way. You know, right, exactly.
And you know what? The filmmaker, I mean, I'm a filmmaker. I'm one of the producers. You go to my Facebook or my Instagram, and you will see me every day praying the rosary life. So for those who say, well, she doesn't pray enough, well, just look what their producers are doing. They're praying for hours life, you know, every day with hundreds of thousands of people, you know? And that's why they attack me, you know, all the time, because I pray too much.
Well, first of all, Eduardo, real quickly, where can people see the movie?
Well, right now in the United States, it's pretty much in every theater, you know. And, and the movie is coming out in Mexico on March 21st, and then the rest of the world, you know, Latin America and Europe and everywhere, you know. And something very important about this movie too, as well, because again, some people are attacking the movie about, you know, oh, this is about you know, immigration, open borders. No. Remember, there's one scene, the first thing she said to her nuns, we're in America, we speak English.
Yeah, she did say that. We speak English now.
Exactly. And then, not only that, but she became American. Not only she became American, she became the first...
saint.
American saint.
First American saint,
this is like talking about law and order, you know, and doing everything the right way and, you know, with compassion. I mean, this is a woman never judged, but through her actions, she was able to bring the best out of anyone, you know, and that's very difficult today in this world that is very divided because, you know, at the moment that someone doesn't think like you, boom, we go after the person and they go after us and we're always fighting and everything. And the way how she was like navigating and dancing with all these conflicts and all these situations, it's an amazing role model for me. I've seen the movie, I don't know how many times, but every single time that I see the movie as an executive producer, like I know Alejandro was, you know, guided by God because the way how he directed this film was very powerful to reach people at every level, at any level. It doesn't matter how you're far away from God or close or whatever. The way how he approached the story and the cinematography, you know, Gorka and Leo as a producer and Alejandro and Justus Wolfington, you know, I mean, that's, he for me is like the main visionary of this movie because he's the one who for many years were fighting to like, I don't want to die before I see, you know, this film reach millions of people. And he's living that dream. He's living his own American dream. Wow. So it's amazing.
Well, Eduardo, I just want to thank you for being on Lighthouse Faith Podcast, and I want to encourage people to see the movie Cabrini. It will change a lot of your attitudes about New York, about you know, everything about how you can be empowered to change the world. You know, because she fought through odds, she fought people, she fought even the church in many ways.
Yes.
So it is a powerful film, and it is a wake-up call, just like Sound of Freedom is, in terms of, you know, where we need to be spending our time and our money on helping the poor.
Yes. And I want parents, this is a very important message for parents. Please bring your daughters, because I can guarantee you that when your daughters see this film, they, my hope is that they, you know, when they finish the film, the film begins when the film finished. You know, I hope that they will carry the legacy of Cabrini. But I can tell you that, you know, young people have this tendency to imitate art. So my hope is that if you bring your daughters, that they will live inspired by Cabrini, wanting to become like Cabrini, more than Cabrini and less than Barbie.
Yes.
The movie Barbie, you know? And so it's very important to not to see everything that is out there, because media influence how people think. We got to be careful in what we see, what we allow our eyes to see, because that material will influence in our life. And if that's true, well, I can guarantee you that when you leave the theater after seeing Cabrini, there is not going to be nothing negative that will influence your daughters, you know, or your sisters, or because I want men to bring their wives, their daughters, their sisters. It's a way to honor women. The most beautiful creation that God has created is women. But women are more beautiful when they recognize that, when they recognize God is the one that created them, and when they put God first, then they become like Mother Mary, you know?
Thank you so much, Eduardo. I really appreciate you being on Lighthouse Faith Podcast. Thank you very much for being here.
God bless you. Thank you.
Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. Amazon Prime members can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music app, or just hit the follow button on your favorite podcast player.
And thank you very much. And thank you for listening to Lighthouse Faith Podcast. I'm Lauren Green. Have a blessed day.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.